The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius, Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Hey, if you're into soap that features classical sculptures of naked guys with swimmers' physiques, look no further than BubbleGenius.com. It's Michelangelo's David's Soap. It's a big honking bar of green soap with a replica soap sculpture of David in fresh, icy water scent and weighing over 4 ounces. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code, that's Bob and Chez, BobAndChez, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Memorial Day weekend.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Thursday, May 21, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob Seska. That's Chez Pazienza right there.
Yep.
Back.
Hello.
Coming up on...
I thought I sounded... Wait a minute.
What?
F*** you. I thought I sounded rather upbeat there.
No, that was good. It was just I instinctively just go for that.
Hello.
Just have to. Besides, you know what? It's a 3-day weekend coming up. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend.
Wow.
In which we honor all of our veterans, all of our soldiers lost in battle by barbecuing and drinking beer.
Getting drunk, right.
Oh, and we'll be doing it tomorrow night. Tomorrow night on the after party once again. I think based on the timing of when we're going to record the after party on Friday evening, it'll probably be ready by the time people will be going to after parties Friday night.
I like that.
So, yeah. So it'll be
Truth in advertising. That's us. Sorry, Truth in freaking advertising, man.
It'll be very, very late at night. But that's the way it should be with the after party. We'll be drinking. We could get Chez to drink more than just little baby sips.
I won't have my daughter here, so...
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com, by the way. It is the best damn soap in the universe. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Hey, the Bowen Law Group wants to give you free answers to legal questions. This is exclusive to Bob and Chez Show listeners only. Head over to the BowenLawGroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link on the podcast page. Get free legal advice from the best damn lawyer in the world, Bo Bowen. Make sure to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Bob and Chez, and support us on our Patreon page. We're cranking along on Patreon. I'm really happy with where we are right now. We're over, last check, over $1,100 per month on Patreon.
Awesome.
So it's really, really
good.
We
need the dues, man. Keep it up.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we're getting very close to the 20% mark, where we're 20% toward our goal to being able to do the show 5 days a week. And we just need a little bit more of a nudge, need some more folks to sign up, as you'll hear in a little bit in my official spiel for Patreon. If every single one of our listeners signed up for just $1 a month, again, that's 12 cents per show, we'd be like way, way, way far beyond our goal.
Yeah, but the only thing you'd get out of is us 5 days a week. You wouldn't get any of the little fun presents or incentives. So donate more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if everyone who likes our Facebook page donated $10 a month, we'd be far and away above our goal.
If we made it past our goal of $7,500 a month, I will go back on heroin. I will have enough money to be able to start a drug habit again.
You know what?
And I will take full advantage of that.
I would, by the way, I just want to do a shout out here to someone who's been helping me behind the scenes, sort of, with like social media and Patreon and trying to maximize our traffic to Patreon. A guy named Michael Latham, who just out of the blue, he's a Stephanie Miller Show listener, started following our Facebook page. And he's been DMing me just little tips and little advice for getting people to head on over to patreon.com/Bob and Chez and sign up as a sponsor. And so I really want to thank Michael for offering his sage-like advice for our Patreon. So that's...
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
I have no idea who you are, but thank you anyway.
Okay, so we got a gigantic show. I guess, you know what? Sadly, we're going to have to start out by talking about Iraq. Iraq is never fun.
What year is it again?
I know, my God.
What year is it? Just help me out with that.
It is 2015, and we are still litigating who was to blame for Iraq. This is astonishing. This is settled information.
No. We are not still litigating
who was
to blame for Iraq. The right is still litigating who was to blame for Iraq.
So no one knows. The party of personal responsibility doesn't want any responsibility on this one. None.
Of course not. No, of course not.
None. The party of personal responsibility, my fucking ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they can't. I mean, every time someone asks them about a role, are the Republicans and George W. Bush to blame for Iraq? And their answer is basically, I die. I mean, that was,
it's interesting because it depends on who you ask. If you ask people who are running for office, they're not going to take the risk of pissing off the base. Mm-hmm. Oddly, though, the polls show smartly that even Republicans, you know, behind the scenes will admit that, oh, yeah, it was totally Bush's fault.
Yeah.
And totally it was a bad idea. It was a mistake to do it.
Well, that's what Lindsey Graham said. Lindsey Graham said Bush made mistakes. But then he went on to, guess what? Blame Obama. Obama. Lindsey Graham, presidential candidate, by the way, Lindsey Graham.
Bush made mistakes. He corrected his mistakes. Obama leaving Iraq, ignoring the advice of all his military commanders. He was told what would happen if you leave Iraq with no troops left behind. Bush went into Iraq with faulty intelligence, but with intelligence the entire world believed. So when you look at the mistakes of Iraq, the only one I blame the most is Barack Obama, not George W. Bush.
Of course you do, because you are a partisan. And you are incapable of looking at a situation in any terms other than partisan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you won't say what's logical, what's reasonable, what makes sense to every single person outside of your little fucking clique.
I mean, what happened is Barack Obama extricated the country from a nightmarish hellhole.
Yeah, we've said it before. The people who are pissed at Obama about this are basically – their argument basically comes down to – you didn't clean up Bush's mess the way we wanted you to.
Right. Oh, and by the way, it was George W. Bush who signed the Status of Forces Agreement that got us out of Iraq before Barack Obama became president. Barack Obama just upheld, you know, his end of the bargain. But to say he's to blame for the Iraq war, I mean, Louis Gohmert was absolutely ridiculous this week, as
this
usual.
This week.
Melon-headed Louis Gohmert. Gohmert!
It's staggering.
Louis Gohmert said...
There's so little that's more embarrassing for our country than the fact that that man is a member of the U.S. House of Representatives.
It is really unbelievable.
That fucking idiot.
He once said, Louis Gohmert, I think we covered it on the show when he did it. He was once talking about how the wall of separation between church and state is a one-way wall.
That's an allergy. Don't you know that? There's an allergy.
Well,
you can take Claritin to get rid of those allergies.
I'm still trying to figure out what the hell he was talking about with the one-way wall. He was clearly trying to get away with saying, well, religion can interfere with state, but state can't interfere with religion. But no. You take down that wall, you put holes in the wall, crap's going to flow both ways. You want religion to start interfering in secular government, then secular government is going to start interfering with religion. That's the way it works. That's why there is a wall, Louis Gohmert, you mushmouth buffoon. Here's Louis Gohmert blaming Iraq on Barack Obama and suggesting that maybe if Bush had known If Bush had known who the next president was going to be, he might not have invaded.
That AUMF, it's a red herring. It's a crock. The problem is the president's on the wrong side. That's the real problem.
Why do you say it's a red herring, sir?
Because it's distracting from the failed leadership. Oh, don't look at the horrible leadership and supporting our enemies and hurting our friends in the Middle East. Look over here. It's all about an AUMF. If we get a new AUMF, everything's...
He can't even say AUMF. He's like,
and we get a new AUMF.
He's the Southern Dan Bedondi.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what they're talking about is they're talking about an AUMF to authorize military action against ISIS, which is already underway. That's another one where they're just sandwiching the president. They're both saying, I mean, on Rand Paul on one hand is saying that, the president doesn't have authorization to fight ISIS. And then the other Republicans are saying, well, we don't want to give him authorization to fight ISIS. That's a red herring. You know, it's a miracle he knows how to use his thumbs to hold the phone up to his ear.
Are we sure he does? He has a helper monkey.
He has a helper monkey.
He actually is a helper monkey. He's God's little helper monkey.
That's right. Louis Gohmert, God's helper monkey. I think we have an answer today.
Jesus' little helper monkey.
Here's more Gohmert!
Saul, forget the failed leadership. It's all about the AUMF. That's a distraction away from the real issue of failed leadership of our president.
I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sorry. Every time, and we play this music a lot, every time I hear his voice, I can't help but to hear...
Oh, yeah, and you should.
Seriously, John, here we go. You think the new AUMF is all of a sudden going to give us a president that will fight with the right people over there and win over there, really? You know, I think, and everybody else wants to ask that question about, would you have gone into Iraq, you know, knowing what you know now? And I think if President Bush had known that he would have a total incompetent follow him that would not even be able to negotiate a status of forces agreement with Iraq that would start helping our enemies and just totally put the Middle East in chaos,
He
would have to think twice about doing anything if he had known he would have such a total incompetent leader take over after him.
Yes,
that should be the question.
An elected member of U.S. Congress right there, Louis Gohmert.
What's the political? I keep forgetting. What's the politically correct term for now?
Helper monkey.
Helper monkey. I can live with that.
All right. So coincidentally, we have here an exclusive sneak peek at George W. Bush's reboot of the Back to the Future series, in which he travels back in time and tries to warn himself about Barack Obama. The new series is called Bush to the Future. And here's a taste of that.
After a long day of painting Wes Anderson Criterion Collection DVD covers, I'd like to relax and watch a little Fox News Channel.
And I think if President Bush had known that he would have a total incompetent follow him, then he would have to think twice about doing anything. If he had known he would have such a total incompetent leader take over after him.
I wonder how things would have turned out in Iraq if I had known Barack Obama would come along and foul it all up. I wish there was a way to go back in time and warn myself.
Evening, George.
Oh, hey, Dick. What's up?
My blood pressure.
That one never gets old.
I'm just spending some time in my evil lair, putting the finishing touches on my new invention.
Let me guess. Is it a telephone that doesn't require any math?
What?
Every phone number has at least one minus sign in there, and I can't do the subtraction in my head.
Those aren't. Anyway, I've been working on a time-traveling clown car. Got it parked over there in the driveway.
Rad! Mind if I give it a spin?
As long as you drive slow in the driveway.
Oh, hey, you weren't teasing me. It's actually a clown car that travels through time. This is exactly what I was looking for. Now I'll go back to 2002 and warn myself about Obama. 2002, here I come. Amazing. Dick Cheney's time-traveling clown car actually worked. I'm at the White House in 2002. Now to warn myself.
Evening, sir.
Oh, hey, Meacham. How goes the Secret Service? Say, by the way, the next president is a Negro, so maybe go light on the security.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Maybe. Just moseying on over to the Oval Office. Hey, 2002W, who are you? I'm you from 2015. Your name is you from 2015? Wow, I really was a moron. No. I'm George W. Bush from the year 2015, and I've come to warn you about President Barack Hussein Obama and Iraq. Oh, my brain feels itchy. President Hussein is still in charge of Iraq in 2015? Dagnabbit! No, the next president is Barack Hussein Obama, and he ruins everything. Wait, if you know so much about 2015, answer me this. Who's president in 2015? And if you say it's not me, I'll have Meacham extraordinarily rendition you to Gitmo. Barack Obama is president, and you, I mean me spend your, my time. What are you doing? I'm just updating my profile pic on Friendster. I stopped paying attention to you 3 minutes ago when you started speaking Chinese, Mr. from 2015 or whoever you are. Damn it, 2002W. Did you just throw a shoe at me? Meacham, do your thing.
3 days later.
Where am I? Hey, Army guy, what is this place? And why am I wearing an orange jumpsuit?
Welcome to Gitmo, Mr. from 2015. Waterboarding in an hour, prag.
Gitmo? Thanks, Obama.
They're already lining up around the block to get the tickets.
Of course they are.
Yeah, so, I mean, wouldn't that be something if Bush could go back in time and warn himself about Obama? You know, Obama making peace in the world. Such a horrible, horrible thing. What a nightmarish hellscape of a future.
The best part about it, was about how Obama screwed up the Middle East. That's like, give me a second while I try to seriously, while I try to plug my ears with masking tape to stop my brain from coming out of them. My
God, these people.
Because we all know that the Middle East has been awesome for thousands of years until Obama showed up.
Yep. Republicans, keep on fucking that chicken. Keep going. You're doing great. Hey, we've got to take a break. We'll come back with more show right after this. Okay, let's talk Patreon. In case you're just joining us, we're rallying all of our listeners to sponsor our little podcast here. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll give you new full-length shows every weekday. Meanwhile, if you pledge $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, you'll not only help finance the show, but you'll also get Patreon-only rewards, such as our post-mortem show, our drunken after-party podcast, and for $15 per month, you'll get all of that, plus a commercial-free, unbleeped version of our full-length Tuesday and Thursday shows. If everyone listening right now pledged just $1 a month, that's 12 cents per show, we'd far exceed our goal. Go right now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you for your support.
Memorial Day weekend.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Yep, welcome back to the show today. So Rand Paul tried another publicity stunt yesterday.
Yeah.
The funniest thing about that was he was calling it, and frankly everybody was calling it, a filibuster. But it wasn't, because there was no other Senate business that he was delaying. So Rand Paul, think about this for a second. Rand Paul stood on the floor of the Senate to filibuster, I guess it was the Patriot Act, something. The renewal of the Patriot Act. And stood up there on the floor of the Senate and just started talking. And thought that, you know, he just pretended as if it was like a pretend filibuster. It was like Rand Paul's make-believe filibuster. Because isn't a point of a filibuster to delay something, to delay a bill, to delay a vote?
Yeah.
To stymie debate. Isn't that what it's supposed to do?
Well, yeah, but I mean, filibuster has come to mean arguing at length in favor of your whatever your argument or whatever your point is that you want to make.
Yeah. Well, this.
But yeah, the actual, you know, the actual definition of it is you're doing it to delay.
I mean, the filibuster rules did not apply, but he was like pretending that they did.
Like, yeah, because it's a big you know, PR stunt.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's theater and nothing more.
What would have been really funny is if he had continued past midnight. If he continued past midnight, there would have been a threat to a vote on the USA Freedom Act, which is the bill that is supposed to end NSA metadata collection.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have actually stymied that bill if he had kept going. So smartly, I think he ended at, I don't know what it was, midnight Eastern time, something like that. But it wouldn't be the first time. I mean, this is just weird Rand Paul flip-flopping all the time. He's dead set against all NSA spying whatsoever. And we've talked about this at length on the show. I don't know. I mean, he's going to clearly flip-flop on that because the NSA isn't going to stop all spying activities. And I don't think he actually really believes they should stop all spying activities.
I would hope not.
I mean, I don't even think Glenn Greenwald thinks that all NSA spying activities should stop.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I think there are some things that the NSA does that are necessary. And obviously, there's stuff like the bulk collection of metadata and all that stuff that's debatable, that probably should be reformed in some way. And the USA Freedom Act is supposed to do that. But Rand Paul, first of all, voted to filibuster it last fall, last November. And then yesterday, with this filibuster against NSA spying and the Patriot Act, he put that bill in jeopardy, the USA Freedom Act, again. This is the most interesting man in politics, Rand Paul.
Yeah, well, he's a bit of a blank canvas.
I mean, the funniest damn thing was that whole drone. I mean, the last time he filibustered was against drones. And he did stay, that time he did stay up all night, and he was delaying something. He was legitimately delaying the confirmation of John Brennan.
Right.
As the head of the CIA. And he said things like, "I rise today to oppose the nomination of anyone who would argue that the president has the power to kill American citizens not involved in combat. I rise today to say that there is no legal precedent for killing American citizens not directly involved in combat, and that any nominee who rubber stamps and grants such power to a president is not worthy of being placed one step away from the Supreme Court." Then 1 month later, Rand Paul said, I've never argued against any technology being used when you have an imminent threat, an active crime going on. Now it's down to, like, an imminent threat is now being conflated with an active crime. If someone comes out of a liquor store with a weapon and $50 in cash, I don't care if a drone kills him or if a policeman kills him. That's awesome. Rand Paul. So it's okay. Well, first of all, it's not okay to use drones in combat overseas against terrorists. But it's okay to use drones in the United States against American citizens who just robbed a liquor store. And then later he opposed the during Ferguson, he opposed the militarization of law enforcement, which is actually the correct position.
Right.
But then a year earlier, he said the police should use drones to take out a liquor store thief.
Yeah. No, that's kind of dumb.
And the list goes on and on. He flip-flops on Israel. He flip-flops on the Civil Rights Act, birth control. That's a funny one. Mr. Rand Paul wants small government, small enough to fit inside your vagina, of course. In 2013, Paul introduced a personhood amendment that not only would have banned abortions, but also would have, in effect, banned many forms of birth control, including some forms of the pill. The following year, Paul denied he supported banning contraceptives. Quote, "There may be various opinions in here, but there's probably almost nobody who wants to ban birth control. I haven't heard any Republican politician who does." What? Very serious. Very serious, Rand Paul. By the way, I think, I guess we bring up our election music here because very serious Jeb Bush is in the news today.
Of course
again.
He is.
Oh God!
Did he go eat at a Chick-fil-A?
By the way, we're going to talk about the Duggars. We're going to talk about the Dunders.
Yeah, I got to write about them when we're done here.
Yeah. Because there's a big update. I think this update just came down.
Oh, wow.
It's from 17 minutes ago.
Oh, boy.
We'll get to that. We'll get to Jeb Bush here. Take a break and come back.
A bunch of crazy, crazy Christians have issues with sexual repression. Color me f***ing absolutely 100% shocked.
Fancy that.
Never thought that would happen.
Yeah, we're going to have a hypocrisy update coming up after a break. But before we do, Jeb Bush, this one made my head hurt. Ben Cohen at the Daily Banter wrote about this. Jeb Bush basically denied climate crisis, the human element of the climate crisis. Which is, I mean, he's really going around. He's really pandering for that far right vote. The other day he was talking about the Religious Freedom Act in support of that, which is, as we all know, just a dog whistle for anti-gay discrimination. And then today he says, and I still haven't quite developed the Jeb Bush voice yet. But
he's very serious.
He's very serious. I mean, he kind of has a voice like this. Look, first of all, the climate is changing. And then I throw in a George Bush laugh. Look, first of all, the climate is changing. I don't think the science is clear what percentage is man-made and what percentage is natural. It's convoluted. And for the people to say the science is decided on, this is just really arrogant, to be honest with you. It's this intellectual arrogance that now you can't even have a conversation about it.
That is an argument that is so old and so tired that it's somehow those who rely on science who are the arrogant ones rather than the people who think that we sit at the center of the universe because Jesus said so.
Yeah, yeah.
That's staggering to me to think that there is arrogance in following science. Right off the bat, he tips his cards when he says, well, I don't think that it's been decided that there's this much, how much is man-made and how much. Actually, you know what? You don't get to think jack shit on that.
Right.
Go talk to a scientist and you can find out what we know, what we genuinely know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't get, that's not a matter of opinion, you jag off.
Really? I mean, the people who think that. That God granted humanity the right to exploit all of nature.
Yeah, James Inhofe thinks that. That there's no way that God would ever destroy this planet. You know, was it yesterday or I get the days confused. It all just blends together for me, and I'm not even on drugs anymore. But I think it was yesterday that somebody brought up the fact that when I was pitching our Patreon page, I think it was on Tuesday, that I always say, and I said that day, I referred to us as a center left show. And I do that to give myself some cover because I have never considered myself a liberal. I've always considered myself genuinely an independent. There are things on the conservative side that I've had an appreciation for. There are things on the liberal side that I've had an appreciation for, but I've never sided with one side specifically. But I have sort of, you know, this guy kind of called me on it a little bit, and I have no choice but to align myself liberally now, as at least socially as a liberal, because there's no one with a brain can be on the right anymore. If you have a brain, you cannot stand there with these people. With Jim Inhofe, who is, you know, for God's sakes, is the guy who is in charge of science and environment, and he thinks that
that's
man-made
so
climate change is crap. He refuses. He calls it a hoax. Mm-hmm. And you can't, you know, I can't, in good conscience, I can't, as someone who thinks I somewhat have an operational brain, again, despite years of drug use, I think I have that, and I see the fact that Ted Cruz is a Republican, and Jim Inhofe is a Republican, and Louis Gohmert is a Republican, and they are anti-gay, and they are pro-Bible and pro-creation, and it's just, you know, and they think the most idiotic things, and I can't be a part of that. I can't be party to that.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of Republicans who feel the same way, but very, very, like,
I don't
a lot,
think
but by a lot, I mean very few.
Yeah, I don't think – I grew up not thinking – my dad's conservative, you know, like most fathers are.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up thinking that there's no way that not all – you know, not all conservative ideas are bad. But these people, they have turned their party over to lunatics, and they are pandering to those lunatics.
The problem with the lunatics on the right is they're cynical lunatics. If they were earnest lunatics, you know what? I give the conspiracy theory people – little more credit than I give the far right. Well, there's kind of one and the same. There's a lot of overlap there. But regardless, I always thought the conspiracy theory people, as crazy as they are, they're earnest, too. They actually believe what they're saying. But with the Republicans, the Republican leadership, they're crazy, but they're also cynical because they're taking advantage of their people and lying to them, misrepresenting how they really think. I mean, I don't think for one second that Ted Cruz, who went to what, Harvard and Yale,
yeah,
actually believes this crap that he says. I mean, I find that's very, very difficult to believe. I mean, he's got too much education to actually think these things are true. I would say the same for Jeb Bush, easily for Jeb. Jeb Bush is so transparent.
Yeah, Jeb Bush is not an idiot by any stretch of the imagination. His brother was.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder which one was the smart one. Maybe they're going to just try Neil Bush next. Like, I don't know. All these guys are just, you know.
Eventually, every year it's going to be a new Bush.
All these guys got their corks on their fork. Maybe we should try Neil next time. All right, we're going to take another break and come back and talk. We're going to talk about the Duggars right after this.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry, and some make me sad, and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at buzzburbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Yes, do it. Do it. Go over to iTunes right now while you're listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe for free and then give us a 5-star rating and review. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing it. Okay, so the Duggars. I have seen way too many episodes of that show.
You have?
Yes, we've looked in on it. I look in on it, like I was saying last week, it's almost like an anthropological study to me. Like to peer in and see what the what the fishbowl looks like on that side.
Yeah.
And it looks horrifying. It's always horrifying. I mean, you want to talk about hathos? You talk about hate watching?
They're religious zealots. That's all they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just, I mean, that mother is like the Duggar mother, whose name I forget.
Who said Michelle.
Michelle Duggar. Who said that Michelle Duggar was like a t-shirt cannon for children?
Yeah.
Her vagina is like a t-shirt cannon?
I can't remember. I think I might have said that. I honestly swear to God, I can't remember. I've written about them so often, and I've used so many little fancy terms for her vagina.
I mean, forgot. I mean, what, 19 kids now?
Her cervix is like, you know, like when, like, after you've worn your socks for too long, the elastic in them just sort of, like, evaporates on you?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Her cervix is like the size of a tire swing.
Pretty much.
The kids all line up and throw footballs through it in the backyard on special occasions. For Memorial Day, all the kids are going to go to the Duggar house and throw footballs through Michelle Duggar's vagina.
Memorial Day weekend.
That would be so much fun. Yeah. This came down just as we were starting the show. The TMZ flash headline, Josh Duggar admits molestation. Resigns from Family Research Council. Yep. Josh Duggar has resigned as executive director of the Family Research Council, acknowledging he sexually molested underage girls, including some of his sisters, calling his conduct inexcusable.
Boom.
Holy crap on a stick. Josh told People magazine, quote, 12 years ago, as a young teenager, I acted inexcusably, for which I am extremely sorry and deeply regret. He continues, quote, we spoke with authorities where I confessed my wrongdoing, and my parents arranged for me and those affected by my actions to receive counseling. The molestations occurred in 2002 and 2003 when he was 14. He fondled the genitals and breasts of the girls, some of whom were sleeping. Oh, my God. Isn't that an incubus? Like, doesn't the incubus go and, like, rape women when they're sleeping? Josh's wife, Anna, says he confessed his, quote, past teenage mistakes to her 2 years before he asked her to marry him. If you're trying to peg the Duggar we're talking about, I think he's the oldest Duggar.
He is. He's
sort
the
of
eldest of the eldest of, I guess, the 19.
He's kind of doughy, and he's got a big bulbous forehead.
Of course he does. Right. And they've all, you know, and the thing is, as they got older, the older kids had no choice but to babysit the younger ones.
That's right. I mean, that was always my thing watching that show. Like, you know, you have one daughter, Chez. I mean, you've got your attention focused on the one daughter. And I think
have two
the one,
daughters.
You have two daughters, really?
You didn't know that?
I had no idea. What the hell is this?
I have a daughter who's she'll be 23 in a month.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
You never knew that.
I never knew that. I am just learning that now. Never said that to me.
I don't keep... I've never brought my other daughter up when it comes to sort of writing about her on the blog or whatever, because I was always a little bit afraid of turning her into sort of like a character in the life dramas that I wrote about. But no, I have two daughters, and my first daughter is awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I posted a picture of her, with Inara, over Christmas. They met for the first time.
Does she still use your last name or what? Does she?
She still has my last name. I think that she. I think she goes. And I don't blame her at all. It's easier. She goes by her middle name, so it's Maddie Mae.
I had no effing idea that you have a daughter, an older daughter, a 23-year-old daughter.
I do.
That's astonishing. I'm just now finding that out. Okay. Well,
but regardless, your point that you're going to make is correct, because I say that all the time. I'm like, I always go out of my way when I write about an R to say, you know, I have a young daughter. I know everything in my life that comes down to sort of like protecting my daughter has to come from obviously protecting my younger daughter. My older daughter's great. She can take care of herself.
That's right. Well, so, I mean, the point I was actually going to make, too, is that your attention gets divided just two ways then between your two daughters.
Right.
Right. And so they each get 50% of your time. Divide your attention 19 effing ways. And that's how much time those children get from their parents.
Oh, that's it. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and look, my older daughter, you know, she lives in Florida and I see her when I can and we talk when I can. But yeah, I won't even say that she gets, 50% anymore now that she's an adult. I mean, Jesus. So, yeah, imagining that I have 19 kids and the amount of effort that I devote to sort of Inara, who's with me, you know, most of the time now that she's growing up or as long as I can keep her, and, multiplying that by 19, that's just shocking to me. I think that's – honestly, I think that's tantamount to child abuse.
Yeah, it's borderline abuse.
So many kids that you really can't be close to every single one of them the way you should.
Yeah, that's right. And it's short-tripping them. Yeah.
Yeah, when Taryn and I got together and she she sort of made it clear that she didn't want kids, and I said flat out, I'm like, "Do you think I want any anymore? I don't." I'm like, I'm one of those people who believes that when you have a child, like, you should spend time with that child before you have another child. Like, you should have a good 4, 5, 6 years devoted only to that child before you think about having another, because I think that that child deserves it.
Well, there's another aspect. I have some questions on this this Duggar thing, and we got to take one last break. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the hypocritical Duggars right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Memorial Day weekend.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Yes, it is. Was that awesome last night?
It was. Yeah, it was really good.
Playing here Everlong by Foo Fighters. It was the last song performed on Letterman last night, last Letterman.
Yeah, it was great.
And just what they... Whoever assembled that montage of clips and stills and everything that went along with the performance... Un-effing believable. And there was some stuff in there that I'd forgotten about.
That's the thing with Letterman is that he's been on so long. You know, I'd honestly kind of taken for granted how influential he was when I was younger.
Yeah.
I mean, I had the Letterman the late night t-shirt. You know, all my friends used to do the bits. You know, we talk about him at school. And it just, for some reason... I hadn't really even given that any thought until maybe the last 3 days before last night.
And you know what? I remember they played it at sort of right at the beginning of the Foo Fighters song where Larry Bud Melman opens the CBS logo and says, "This is CBS."
Yeah.
And that is exactly why we do this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right at the top of the show. It's like it occurred to me, yeah, you know what? Doing that at the top of the show with Dan Badani saying the name of our show, that is like our version of Larry Bud Melman coming on before the Letterman's first CBS show and saying, "This is CBS."
Yeah.
Doing the ID. So, really good. Really good. Really good finale. Great way and really the perfect way for Letterman to go out last night.
I agree.
All right. So back to the Duggars here. My question with this situation is, now, didn't Jim Bob... bring him to the authorities, or like it wasn't Jim Bob responsible?
I mean, look, I'm going to be very honest here, and I read the story really quickly a little while ago, and this update that you just gave, it's the first I've heard of it. From what I read, Jim Bob ratted him out. I want to say in 2006.
Really?
I could be totally wrong on that. And the cop who was investigating it was himself. Charged with child molestation? Did I get that? I really don't want to screw this up. So,
all right. Well, here's the original story. The Duggar The Duggar family might not be quite as wholesome as they would hope. This is from, by the way, this article is from Salon. According to a new report, Josh Duggar, the eldest of the 19 kids and counting crew, and a current anti-gay activist. Well, of course. Was named as the alleged offender in a 2004 underage sexual abuse investigation.
Yeah.
And he was reportedly turned in by none other than his father, Jim Bob.
Right.
Recently unearthed documents from an Arkansas State Police investigation indicate that police plan to pursue charges against Duggar, according to In Touch magazine. The reality star, then 17, was reportedly brought to the police after his father saw him leaving an underage girl's bedroom and learned, quote, something inappropriate had happened. Good Lord. But the case was never concluded, the magazine reports, because of, quote unquote, a bizarre turn of events. The state trooper who originally took the report about Josh shortly before 2005 never followed up. That state trooper was later convicted on child pornography charges.
That's it.
And is serving a 56-year prison sentence.
Yeah, so the case went inactive. The case just basically died on the vine.
So, in all of that time in the interim, the last 10 years, the Duggars have been comporting themselves as this wholesome sort of side hug, you know, the whole horse thing.
All along.
Yeah.
All along they knew.
And there was, Michelle Duggar last fall recording a actually it was a robocall. I think I have that.
And you know what? And you know what the other thing to think about is? You know one of the reasons why they did it? Because they had a f***ing gravy train going.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Because for the past several years, they have been the belle of the ball, you know, the Today Show. Every time they had a new announcement for, we're going to have a baby. Oh, we had a baby. Ah, you know, remember they had that crap going. There was the Today Show with we've got the Duggars on for a big surprise.
Yep.
And you know, they had their TLC show and they didn't want to stop the gravy train.
Oh, there's another Duggar.
Oh God, that's horrible.
Here's the Duggar robocall, the wholesome all American Duggar family.
Hello, this is Michelle Duggar. I'm calling to inform you of some shocking news that will affect the safety of Northwest Arkansas women and children. The Fayetteville City Council is voting on an ordinance this Tuesday night that would allow men, yes, I said men,
including my
women's
son,
women's and girls' restrooms, locker rooms, showers, sleeping areas, and other areas that are designated for females only. I don't believe the citizens of Fayetteville would want males with past child predator conviction.
Oh, the irony.
Oh, I'm loving it. Please. Oh, God. Where'd you find that? Mail it to me, would you?
Okay, sure will.
Because I got to write about it, so I'm going to probably end my piece with, and let's just sit back and enjoy this now, shall we?
Oh, my God. Does that mean Josh?
I mean, everybody knows. I've been waiting for something like this obviously, I would never in a million years, even a Duggar daughter, I wouldn't want a little girl or a little boy to be molested. Right. No chance. No. My loathe for them is not that visceral. But yeah, I mean, this is I've been waiting for something horrible to fucking knock them off the map for a long time.
So we are now demonizing transgendered people is what we're doing. This is what this whole call is about. Right. Transgender people, they don't say transgender. They frame it as just men. Like, oh yeah, just guys. Like
and
a guy yes, should be
men
able to go in
and
there.
They're sexual deviants, yeah. And you know.
But it's actually transgender people who identify as female. Using a women's bathroom, which those of us with a brain in our head, those of us who have evolved into the 21st century, understand that there's nothing wrong with that. Except Michelle Duggar, Stepford Michelle Duggar. She's on, you know what, whenever I see her talk, I just wonder what the cocktail of drugs that she's on.
Exactly.
Just like lots of mood and personality medications.
That would be
because
so awesome.
She's just got that. She's got that go with a smile Joker grin on her face at all times. Even
love that Joker.
All new Joker products.
Love that Jesus. That's what the Joker is. Their Joker is Jesus Christ.
So she's just been brainwashed. She looks like that's exactly it. She looks like
my vagina is never empty.
Oh my God. I feel there's something in my vagina. A new Duggar. Time to go on the Today Show.
They're eventually going to run out of names that begin with the letter J.
Oh, that's
I
right.
Swear,
they're all named J.
It's just so – it's like they'd go on the Today Show and they would go – you know, when they had to make the announcement for the pregnancy, they'd come to New York, which – look, I worked in TV news for a really long time. Mm-hmm. When the family from like Arkansas with the 18,000 kids who mention the name of the Lord every 5 seconds like there's a f***ing Skinner box treat in it for them show up in New York City at the offices and the studios of Today, you just know that everybody behind the scenes is like, oh, can I get you something? Like a giant f***ing cork stopper to put up that goddamn thing to stop squirting babies out of it.
It's like that every sperm is sacred sketch from The Meaning of Life where the mom is just standing at the sink and a baby just falls out.
You just know that the amount, the eye rolling that's going on in 30 Rock when the Duggars are there can probably lift the entire building up off the ground.
That's what's just so fascinating about watching that show is it just seems so, I mean, it almost seems like I'm looking at an English speaking foreign country.
Yeah, well, this kind of is.
We all live in the same nation. These are also people.
Yeah. We don't. Though. You and I have talked about that a bunch of times. The thing about America is that you live in Hawaii. I live in Los Angeles. And before that, I lived in New York City and Miami. And all four of those places are completely different in how they view the world.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I can't. When I was living in New York, I couldn't – living in L.A. now, I can't begin to fathom what people in the middle of Arkansas give a freaking crap about.
Right.
Their wants, their needs, their feelings are so absolutely – I mean, I know we actually do have things in common, but you know, but overall the things that they want are so alien to me and their beliefs and so on that it's like it's hard to imagine that we haven't split up into individual sort of country states long before the threats that we're hearing of secession now.
Yeah, I mean, but beyond that, even the points of reference,
the Civil War, pardon me.
I mean, the lifestyle is just so foreign to see, like, I mean, those of you who haven't seen the show, the kids are, and especially the teenage kids, are not allowed to directly hug a person of the opposite sex. They have to do what's called
a Christian side hug.
Christian side hug. I mean, that's what they have to do. So this, there was one episode where the one daughter of the dozens of daughters goes to some Israel or something like that with Jim Bob, the dad, and they go to visit this guy who the daughter has been sort of seeing online via Skype or something like that. Right. And they traveled all that way, and they're clearly in love with each other, the guy in Israel and the daughter. And all they can do when they meet is side hug. And then
that guy wants to f*** her so badly.
I know. But he went along with it, I guess. I mean, if you believe what's on the TV show, you know. But they ended up getting married. That was the big marriage at the end of, I don't know, the most recent season.
Of course, that's the only way he's going to get laid. It's just so dumb.
Yeah.
It's just so, you know, and that's what happens. You get the, you know, you're a teenager and you get the poison buildup, man. And when you can't release the poison, it comes out some other way. It's a horrific way of saying it and looking at it. That's a very O&A way of putting it. But you
well,
know
it's
what?
True.
You've got a shitload of hormones running through you, and then every single thing. I'm sounding like Al Pacino at the end of Devil's Advocate here. I swear, just for his own fucking amusement. Yeah, as you know, and you basically you have all of these hormones, and then you're being constantly told by your entire family that the way you have to behave is completely in denial of all of that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then what do we get? We get a Duggar who goes around and as a succubus and sort of molests, well, not sort of, absolutely, and admittedly molests the other daughters.
Sure.
As a teenager, by the way. And anyone tries to tell me that it's a youthful indiscretion is out of their blessed mind.
It's not. It's not a youthful indiscretion. It's an absolute result of repression. And suppression.
And I will say this. I will say this for the Duggars, especially Jim Bob Duggar. I mean, he handled it the right way. I mean, he did the right thing. I mean, you got to say that. I make that concession. That he did the right thing by
thing by turning him in, but then he never said dick about it after that.
Yeah, but that's true.
You know why? Because after that year is when the gravy train really started getting rolling.
Yep.
And then it was like, well, look, you know what? If we, what do we do? Blow this out of the water?
By the way, meanwhile, another anti-gay pastor was caught sexting on Grindr.
On Grindr. That is it's so awesome. I love when those happen.
He is a...
That's my favorite story.
He describes himself as a top who likes to cuddle.
Awesome. Good for him. I think the thing that bothers me most is... Like, I remember I wrote this about Ted Haggard. Remember Ted Haggard?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Why don't you just be a top who likes to cuddle? For God's sakes, why are you holding on to 2,000-year-old superstition that says that there's something wrong with that? Be a top who likes to cuddle. That's who you are.
Yeah.
Go do it. Do it. The idea that, like, I almost, while I laugh at them and there's all that schadenfreude, I really feel sorry for them that they've embraced this insane superstition that tells them that they're wrong.
I mean,
no,
it's
just
not,
be you. If you're not hurting anybody, who gives a crap?
It's not 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when it was illegal in a lot of states. You know, we're serious things. I mean, you saw that Benedict Cumberbatch movie. It was definitely illegal in England. But now,
right.
Not anymore.
It's not
just
now.
Own it. Just own who you are, for God's sake. Instead of being a fucking hypocrite.
Yep.
Duggars. Duggars!
Awesome.
Duggars!
Gomer.
We got more stuff to talk about on the Postmortem Show. If you sign up on Patreon, patreon.com/Bob and Chez, you'll get it. Take care, folks. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Memorial Day weekend.